This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With another episode of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the latest news and trends in pop culture each and every week, twice a week, wherever you get your podcasts, plus also as well, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, where we're going to go ahead and make sure later this month when Fantasy Football owners of their teams figure out exactly who they might be interested in after NFL free agency. So we'll go ahead and take a look at that on the ISFF coming up later this month, wherever you get your podcasts. Joe Soros here. Go ahead and check him out today. It's Ox1947 at LakersBall.com. Also as well, coming up in an hour flat, it is Lakers Nightcap with Joe Soro. Hopefully he'll be a little bit more cheered up by then. Hopefully we'll be able to vent tonight on both of our shows. So go ahead and check out our post game and also as well, of course, Lakers Nightcap coming up in an hour. Also as well, of course, our good friends, the Lakerholics crew, Jamie Sweet was on earlier on the pregame. Go ahead and check him and Laker Tom now as they worry about what's going to happen with LeBron James. We're all worried what's going to happen with LeBron James. And they'll let you know why at Lakerholics.com. Good friends, Lakers in 5, Empire Jeff TV, John McCalion Channel, Daniel Berry Sports Highlights, Yo, and also as well, John Costas, Lakers Corner, and also as well, Clutch Talk. All these great channels you need to support. And speaking of great channels, it is, of course, this channel right here. Please like, follow, and subscribe to get the latest notifications on when we go live on the air with the latest Lakers Fast Break podcasts. Lakers coming in tonight, needing a crucial victory in the first of two games in a week against the Sacramento Kings at the Crypt, coming off the really strong victory in OKC, and they got off to a 19-point lead. So what could go wrong? Well, poor decisions that were made, bench not producing, defense goes MIA, a myriad of things went wrong. Capped off with about 4 minutes left in the game when LeBron James walked back to the locker room. Did walk under his own power, but did look injured. So we'll see what happens when he, with any kind of reports that are out there. And we'll obviously report it to you immediately on this show or on at Lakers Fast Break on Twitter. So go ahead and make sure you're keeping in tune with us there. But the Lakers up by 19. It just had a massive turnaround in the second quarter. The defense absolutely collapsed, could not make a shot, could not defend a shot. And yesterday in the game, in our Lakers snack pack, we talked about this game. And it was noted in the chat that they weren't as worried about the AD Sabonis matchup as they were worried about De'Aaron Fox. Well, they needed to be worried about both De'Aaron Fox and Devonta Sabonis, but more so De'Aaron Fox, as he just destroyed the Lakers backcourt with 44 points, tying a career high. Malik Monk coming off the bench and decided to pour salt in the wound on the Lakers guards as well, getting 26-8 himself. And the Sacramento Kings absolutely obliterated the Los Angeles Lakers 130-120. They cruised to a victory. It was over at halftime when they were up by 15. And here today to talk about today's game, such a stirring disappointment, just absolutely terrible rotations by Darvin Ham. 3 and 4 guard lineups out there. It's absolutely abysmal. Once again, it is, of course, good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check him out as Oxnard247 at LakersBall.com. It is Joe Soro. And Joe, very disappointing. Very disappointing. You needed a good effort tonight. You needed a strong effort. You need the kind of effort you got on Monday. But flash forward 2 days later against what is supposed to be not quite as a good team as they played on Monday, but they got a whole lot worse, Joe. A whole lot worse.
It's been the MO all year. It's not a surprise. I'm going to talk a little bit more about Anthony Davis than the typical issues that the Lakers have had, primarily Mr. Darvin Ham. AD is starting to show that he disappears against talented big men. And not only does he disappear, he's not even existing. He is so out of his game to the point where you don't even know if he's there. And that's just not the disappointing part about AD and his career is his inability to put everything together for a full season. He's never really done that. And it's weird to see someone like Jokic, who is slower than he is, not as athletic as he is. You could say he's maybe a better shooter, but I'd like to think that AD started out his basketball career as a point guard. I'd like to think he should be a better passer as well. But he is none of those things. None of those things. Athletically, of course, but athleticism doesn't mean anything unless you can put it to something. So at this point, I don't even know if that's the correct as well. I'm not putting it all on AD tonight, but he's definitely at least a 1A problem tonight. If he had had an AD game, the Lakers would have likely taken that 19-point lead and at least sustained it throughout the entire game, or at least stymied runs that they were having. But unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to see that. And as far as the head coach of this team, it's not really becoming a debate anymore. He is the worst Laker coach I've ever seen in the 33 years I've been focused on the NBA and the Lakers. The only one that could be worse is Randy Fund in 1992, but that was right after Mike Dunleavy got an amazing contract from Milwaukee to be their GM and coach. And Magic Johnson had just announced his retirement due to the diagnosis he had. So that was kind of like we got to put somebody in here. So I don't really even look at that. The team was pretty much gutted without having Magic. And then they had this Laker assistant for the longest time who they thought maybe might have something. Well, he didn't. And that was the worst coach at the time, at least from my memory. We can look at Byron Scott. We can look at Luke Walton. We can look at Mike Brown. We can look at Mike D'Antoni. But all four of those coaches had different circumstances than this team. This team actually has talent and wasn't injured, of course, until LeBron might have just gotten injured now. There was talent on this team, and there was something to come off of from last year. So, and it's gotten worse. It's gotten considerably worse. He played a 3-guard lineup against a team that has superior talent, beyond superior talent. If you're going to combat great guard play, you need to at least try and figure out a way to play man-to-man defense enough to where if they don't have an open shot, they're going to go towards the basket, and then you have your larger players be a problem there. Now, that also can be put in as an issue with the fact that AD didn't show up tonight, and that didn't help. It was an overall team disappointment. Austin didn't have a good game. D'Lo got out of his rhythm due to the fact that Darvin Ham didn't know how to set up a rotation today again and playing him in a certain way. It's just an overall terrible game in every facet of the game after the first quarter. Actually, it wasn't really after the first quarter. They were showing signs that that they were going downhill 2 minutes before the first quarter ended. That could be from a lack of focus too. Lack of focus, lack of the ability to come up when you need to come up against superior or, well, yeah, you can say superior talent, AD being one. LeBron can only do so much. D'Angelo can only do so much. It's just a bad team loss and a team loss that we've seen over and over again this year. This likely solidifies, especially if LeBron is out for a week or so, this solidifies that the Lakers will probably get the 10th seed, and I want everyone to be prepared that the Lakers will probably be one and done at the end of the year. My only hope is that if that is the case, that the next day, Darvin Ham is on the unemployment line. That to me is the only positive in this in that scenario, is if they do go that route and they're out after one game, I would really, 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 really be hoping that that next day, Darvin Ham is no longer the coach of the LA Lakers, and you don't hire a coach until you've done some research. And I'm hoping they're doing some research right now, which they probably aren't.
Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Soro along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much for watching and listening, but truly appreciate it as the, you know, being here, helping us out. We hopefully help you as much as you help us. And hopefully you'll do so by liking and subscribing today. The Lakers unfortunately lose today, 130 to 120 to the Sacramento Kings. The Lakers fall to 34-30. They are 10th place in the Western Conference. Here today is a good man indeed. You got to catch the conversation he had with Stone Hansen yesterday right here on this channel. It is the guy that's behind Clutch Talk and Lakers Corner. It is John Costa. John, great to have you here. Unfortunately, with the Lakers not deciding to play at all. I know Joe talked about how AD didn't show up today and how he was thoroughly dominated by Domantas Sabonis. Sabonis got a triple-double. I'll read off the numbers. 16 points, 12 assists, 20 rebounds. And a very solid game for him. Absolutely made AD really just small in comparison. The thing, though, where it lies, and I think where the game to me was truly won and lost, was in the backcourt. The backcourt was absolutely abysmal today. Your guy, D'Angelo Russell, really off his rhythm. I agree with Joe on that, whether it's rotations or he just played lousy. Defensively, it was not fun. Torian Prince couldn't guard anything. And Austin Reeves, you know, people were talking about, yeah, he's been playing really good defense lately, been pretty good defense lately for a guy who's been maligned defense all year. Well, he reverted back to that, unfortunately, that defensive matador. Part of that was caused by Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox, who went off today and went off today real big. Your thoughts, my friend, on today's game, an absolutely abysmal performance. We talked about it being a team victory on Monday. This was definitely a team loss on Wednesday.
Absolutely. And honestly, you know, those like losses or losses in life when you're just like, man, like that stung. Like it just felt like the Kings not only beat us, but they were also pouring, lemon juice, like in our
salt on the wounds, my friend, salt in the wounds,
salt in the wounds. Gerald, you said it best, man. Like that's really how this feels. And shout out everybody that's in the chat talking about like season's over and it's done. And cause that's honestly how I feel. The 10th seed is honestly probably going to be ours. But as far as like, as far as the game, Joe talked about, you know, the problem with AD and whatnot. And I, you know, I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you, Joe. And I think it's crazy because when I was doing the live this last Tuesday with Stone, we had some people in the chat and they had brought up a great point talking about how AD always struggles against these like European bruiser type bigs. Like he struggled against Nurkic, struggles against Sabonis, always tends to just shy away and struggle against Jokic. So it's just it's kind of frustrating because, like, to me, we know he can do it. You know, we see him on the night of exactly. Yeah, Jay said Europe owns AD. Sadly, exactly. Unfortunately, all these European players are just dominating him, and it's like we see him do it, and it isn't a matter of like, oh, we're not putting him in the right position. It isn't anything like that. Which that's a whole nother topic for us to get into of like Darvin Ham not putting players in their right position. But I think Anthony Davis is the type that is just like, it's not really much of a position. It's like, how much do you want it? And you can literally see from night to night, it's like one night he really wants it. Next night, he really doesn't want it. Next night, he really wants it. Next night, he really doesn't care. And that right there is nothing more than just a personal issue. We've already said so many times, he doesn't have that dog in him. Tonight only took 13 shots. Yes, granted, you know, Rui's on fire, led the team in scoring tonight for us with 29, but he took more shots than AD. Austin Reeves took more shots than AD. D'Angelo Russell only took 3 less shots than Anthony Davis. I feel like the advantage that we had coming into this game is Anthony Davis. We should have played through Anthony Davis, but he also should have taken the initiative to say, yo, I'm sorry, but this guy right here, this guy Sabonis, yeah, he's not going to be able to hold me. He's not going to be able to stay in front of me. Give me the ball. But, of course, you know, we don't get that from him. And then to Joe's comment about D'Angelo Russell not, you know, getting any, I guess, rotation, I mean, rhythm, I blame that fully on Darvin Scam because, I mean, look, he as a player, you figure out what your coach is giving you. You see what the defense is giving you, and you play to a rhythm. And right now, I mean, I think D'Angelo Russell, he gets a rhythm built up. He gets a rhythm going, and then a couple of games ago, he got benched in crunch time minutes, and we gave the minutes to the man that got waived by another NBA team. He gave crunch time minutes to Spencer Dinwiddie a couple games ago over D'Angelo Russell. As a player, that has to throw your head off. That has to throw your mental off. It's like, dang, for the last 2 months, I've been consistently solid. I've been doing what you guys asked me to do. I've been this third star you guys asked me to be. And now I'm getting thrown out by the player who just got waived by another team in crunch time minutes. That has to do something to a player's mental. So, yeah, I'm sure D'Angelo Russell's heads everywhere. But honestly, guys, long story short, this season is over. Like for anything that we cared about, honestly, to be real.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
My last movie that I saw in the theaters was The Last Skywalker. I know, condolences to me.
Wow, man. Nice. I just had talked about that, and I completely forgot that I saw that movie.
Yes.
Is that it doesn't speak great things about it, I suppose.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, it is the Lakers losing 130 to 120. Joe Intel Wild says in the chat, truly appreciate the super chat. Thank you so much for doing so. You can always go ahead and do so right here at the Lakers Fast Break. Intel Wild says he read online that an AI bot said the Lakers would have been 41 and 22 right now if Hashimura had been starting every game. Your thoughts on that?
If that acronym of AI is ass intelligence, then yeah, that would be fitting. the overreaction of AI in the last 6 months has been quite comical. I've seen some AI stuff. It'll get better, Joe. It'll get better. Okay. Cool. Enjoy your AI. Enjoy your fantasies and the Lakers would win 60 games if Rui had just started in November. This is a fractured team with an inept coach and a front office ownership that blundered one after another decision. This is something we just have to accept at this point. And when you have problems that are not solvable, you need to start getting into the mode of fixing the problem. That's the beauty of sports in the NBA, especially NFL, Major League Baseball, hockey, whatever. There's a restart every year. It's not losing the World Cup and then you have to wait 4 years, right? So the solution here is try to do your best to be competitive the rest of the way, but the likelihood based off of how they've played all year is that they are going to get the 10th seed and they are going to get bounced after the first game so they can get out of this rut. The issues we've discussed outside the season is that there might have been a silver lining in that had they not have to possibly give up that pick to New Orleans. I believe, might be wrong, I believe even in a weak draft, anytime you can get a team's lottery pick, you probably want to take it. So not only are the Lakers going to not make the playoffs, they are also going to lose a lottery pick this year, and then they're going to have to figure out a way how to choose the right coach, because apparently that's something that they can't do. And then they're going to have to revamp this team. Oh, and build around apparently what will be a 40-year-old LeBron James, because they don't have the sack to start over. And even if they did start over, what are they going to do after that? They're going to go put up signs on top of the crypto and say, hey, come to the Lakers. We have Tobey Maguire videos you can watch. Yeah. Yeah. Tobey Maguire will convince you to come to LA and play for the Lakers.
Okay.
See how comfortable that feels?
Oh, as long as he doesn't start dancing like he did in, was it S2?
Spider-Man 2? Actually, that would have been a good thing. But okay. If Tobey Maguire is telling me to come play for the Lakers and doing it in those tutorial type, you know, music, the videos that they show new employees. Hi, we're with Tech Corp. Welcome. You are now here to work with us. Like things like that, right? There's a great episode on Entourage. If you guys haven't seen the show Entourage, where they have all these, all the agencies have the standard, like, we want you to be Apple, Microsoft, Coke, like things like that. All the cookie cutter type presentations. Instead of just sitting down and going, what do you want to do? Why would you want to come to LA? Why would you want the pressure of coming to LA and dealing with the fans that are all nuts like us and dealing with the LA traffic and dealing with banners all over the place? Why would you want to come to LA? That's kind of the first question I'd ask, or at least that's the first question I think of when I would be asking a free agent that I want to come here. I don't know what they're going to do. But if it's anything that they've done the last few years, folks, we might be on 17 for a while. And the most disappointing part about tonight was AD. AD is not, he's not it. He's not it against the elite. And I don't even consider Sabonis the elite in a lot of ways. I know I might be unfair on that, but for someone that has the skill set of AD, that he should be running circles around somebody like Sabonis. I'm sorry, but we're not getting it. We're just not getting it. And sorry, Hernan, we're not getting 18 for anytime soon. There's going to need to be a miracle this summer. Number one, they're going to have to get the right coach. Number two, they're going to need a third star that could solve all their problems.
And number three, they can't commit to LeBron James on a huge 2-3 year contract.
And they will. And they will.
They will.
Get ready, folks. They're going to.
Which will suck up the salary cap.
He will opt out, and they will pay him $120 million for 2 years. Watch. That's what they're going to end up doing.
Once again, it is the Lakers fast break. The Lakers do lose 130 to 120. Speaking of LeBron, I know he did go off the court with 3:56 remaining in the game. Looked like he was grimacing. He immediately left, left the court, period, after sustaining an injury. He did indicate after the game to Jovan Buha, he said that he'll be all right, were his words to the press, including Mike Trudell and Jovan Buha. James said it was the ongoing left ankle injury that he's been dealing with, said nothing happened, it just reared up late. Well, funny how that happens when you're getting your ass kicked after for three quarters and seeing how that plays out. Now, I don't want to say it might actually been his ankle, and you know, but it just aesthetics and optics are everything. So, you know, social media is going to run wild with that one. So while we see what's going to go on with LeBron James, and of course, Darvin Ham had no idea what was going on the entire time. So he also said he should have challenged Anthony Davis's fourth foul. That's great. You tell us all this after the fact. It's just a mess right now. So soon after playing so well, this is what you get when you have a team, John, that is this up and down. This is exactly a 500 team or thereabouts is what you're going to get. A 10th place team in the Western Conference is what you're going to get.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what we are. And if we get that 10th seed, at least we'll be where we belong as far as like playing wise.
Well, there's six games up on Utah, so you could pretty much count it that they're going to be 10th place.
Exactly right. So we're there at that 10th place. And really quick in the chat, I feel like Louis Ruiz, he's talking about how, why are we here complaining about Anthony Davis when he went in, we were up by 19 points. Brother, do you realize that he was the advantage that we had tonight and he got outplayed, out-hustled, out-muscled? Like, he was who I was leaning on, to be honest with you. I mean, really almost every night I'm leaning on him, but especially against a smaller big like Sabonis. Do we remember last year when the Warriors beat the Kings? I don't know if it was in the play-in or playoffs, but whatever it was. But Kevon Looney made Sabonis look like a baby. And everyone was like, wow, Kevon Looney's such a good big. Look at Kevon Looney. And then Kevon Looney went up against Anthony Davis, an actual true good big. And then what happened? The Lakers knocked the Warriors out of the playoffs. So we see what happens there. But my struggles is like, damn, AD, like you're getting outdid by people who are worse than you. And you're also allowing a player like Kevon Looney to take care of, manhandle Sabonis, but you can't. So that's the dad, Louis. Just want to talk about that, brother. That's why I'm complaining about Anthony Davis is the fact that Sabonis grabbed 20 rebounds tonight to Anthony Davis's 11. Sabonis had what? I think what he finished when I was 16 points.
16, Anthony... 20, and 12, to give you an idea.
That's exactly why, Louis. That's why we're complaining about Anthony Davis. But it's about LeBron, though. and this is crazy because, you know, as you guys know, like, LeBron is my guy. But I've also been just watching LeBron and like studying LeBron for a very, very for a very long time. And I see him do stuff like that. And the second I saw him walking away, I knew for a fact, maybe it might have like, you know, tweaked out for a second, but he knew this game was over and just wanted to get out of there. That's what I think. And you know, maybe there will be some people in the chat that want to give him the benefit of the doubt, or some people out there want to give him the benefit of the doubt. But I've been watching LeBron a lot. He is a freaking, I don't even know if I'm using chronological right. It's not chronological, but he's a chronic liar. He lies a lot, right? So we know he lies about reading those books. We know he lies about seeing things that he says he didn't see. So I know that tonight he was like, yo, this game's over. I'm pissed off. He just tweaked his ankle and then he's like, yo, I'm gone. I ain't gonna lie. I think that's a very LeBron James S type move right now. Especially at this point in his career and how mad he is.
Joe, I know you touched on Anthony Davis and how small he played today's game against someone that, you know, he could have easily dominated against, but as we saw, that didn't happen. But I want you to go ahead and touch on something I asked John earlier in regards to the way the guards were absolutely outplayed today, outclassed. And this was mentioned by our chat that when you and I were on last night on the Snack Pack, that they talked about it, that they were worried about the matchup, who is going to guard Fox. Well, the answer, Joe, tonight between who is going to guard Fox and Malik Monk, the answer was nobody, because nobody could guard either of them.
Well, we're not expecting them to guard these guys. We're expecting them to play cohesive defense. If you feel like you're not going to be able to guard them one-on-one, whoever it is, I get that. You're not going to stop De'Aaron Fox. I get it. But when there's no resistance every time he gets to the paint, that's a problem. That's a defensive problem, a defensive philosophy problem. You have to give them tougher shots. There's still 5-on-5 basketball going on here. Yet it looked like 4-on-5 basketball. No one covering anybody, no one talking on screens, players still going over screens when you've got elite shooters on this team. This is a defensive disaster from every angle, and it has nothing to do with the talent discrepancy. We know Austin can't guard Fox. We know D'Lo can't. That isn't a mystery. The mystery is, why are these guys getting open shots 4 or 5 feet away from the basket? They're just like nothing, because everyone is confused. No one knows who's guarding who. No one knows who's switching to what. Anthony Davis might not even know, well, do you want me to take care of Sabonis or do you want me to take care of this guy? Maybe it isn't AD's problem. Maybe AD is frustrated. Who knows? Either way, the fracture on this team is evident all the time. Even when they win, it's a struggle. There's no rhythm. There's no philosophy. This just isn't. It's a broken team, and the only way to fix this issue is to get a dustpan, get a sweeper, sweep it in that dustpan, and throw it in the dumpster. And that's it. That's it. We're going to be saying this every now and then for the rest of the year. They'll beat Milwaukee in the next game. We're going to come back on here. My God. Ah, yeah, great. Great Lakers. They win. Then they'll lose in Sacramento. Then they're going to come back and, man, they're going to beat Minnesota. We're going to be like, man, the Lakers, if they could just get the 7th seed. Oh, my God, I can't wait. Then they'll lose to who? I don't know. Doesn't matter. It's just not a team that has any ability to do anything consistent. It's not. It's everyone's fault, but it's also no one's fault at the same time. Does that make sense? There's a really, really good line Cool Bro was talking our goddamn heads off today about freaking movies. So now I got to go into it. Kingdom of Heaven is a really good scene where the character Orlando Bloom plays asks how much Jerusalem, how important Jerusalem is, because there's this fight of that land. And he goes, nothing. And then he waits for a few seconds, everything. So for some things, it's nothing. For some things, it's everything. And that's what the Lakers are. They're nothing and everything at the same time. But that doesn't work in sports. This isn't a movie. This is a fantasy. The Lakers can't win a championship unless there's some kind of consistent focus. It's already hard enough to win when you are those things, and the Lakers are just not. And there are players that are they're not able to do what needs to be done. You have leadership that cannot lead. It's just not going to happen. Enjoy the rest of the season, folks. I am solidifying 100% right now that the Lakers are going to be the 10th seed in this play-in, and they are going to lose that first game. Stamp it, put it in the books. It's happening. I'm just now hoping that the Lakers are looking for a goddamn coach that knows what the hell he's going to do when he gets here next year. If they don't fire this freaking guy, then it's really going to make me, I probably am not going to do this, but I really had a thought at this point about just not, I can't continue to watch this trash anymore. It's a waste of my time. And I've never said that in my Laker life, even when Kobe's 05 team, where he didn't make the playoffs, even the Luke Walton teams, even the Byron Scott teams, although the Luke Walton team, after about three quarters of the way, I finally had to stop watching some games because I started getting like knots in my stomach from just the patheticness of it. But I can't continue to dedicate 5 to 6 hours of my life watching trash. It's really, really getting to me right now. It's a waste of my time, and that's my number one pet peeve. I don't like people wasting my time. I'll deal with liars, I'll deal with people who are dumb, but I can't deal with people who waste my time because I can't get that back. I can deal with stupid people, but I can't deal with losing time. That you can't get that back.
Once again, it is the Lakers fast break. Lakers do lose 130 to 120. John, I do want to again update everyone. Yes, everybody saw LeBron James headed to the locker room. He did have a flare-up of his ankle, ongoing left ankle injury, but it looks like that he's going to be treating it, and hopefully he'll be back for the Friday game against Milwaukee. We'll see what happens. I know they will not be in a good mood after they got waxed on the road in Golden State in a game that we also needed for Milwaukee to win, and God forbid they don't cooperate with us on that either. So there you have it, my friend, firmly entrenched in the 10th spot. We do have 30 losses. It's not good, my friend. It's not good at all, because I think we've taken a ticket, John. We've taken a ticket to purgatory. We're in no man's land. We're nowhere. We're in a position right now where we're not bad enough to tank, and we're not good enough to win.
And you know what's so bad about being in this type of purgatory is the fact that not only are we the Lakers, and every single year the expectation for the Lakers is just in through the roof. So when you look at expectation and then performance, like you're just bound to let yourself down a lot more. But we're also in a really, really bad position, because I would say our best young player is Austin Reeves. I mean, I know Jalen Hood-Scafino has been balling out in the G League. I heard the man was averaging like 31
points. G League superstar, man.
Yeah, exactly, right? I heard he was averaging like 31 points or something like that in the last couple of games, which is dope. But, hey, there's a huge gap between the G League and the NBA. And right now we're getting – I don't need some talent in the South Bay Lakers. I need some talent on the Los Angeles Lakers. So – what's really bad about this situation is, like I mentioned, is not only are we in the purgatory of, you know, I guess like seeding wise, where as far as can't really tank, but also can't really compete for a title. But also, we're stuck in the purgatory of letting LeBron ride off into the sunset or whatever he's going to do, whether he's going to join another team to be with his son or not. I don't know what in the world is going to happen with that. And we're in the purgatory of, damn, all right, who are we going to build around? Because I said this in the live stream that I did this last Tuesday. Anthony Davis is not a 1A. He's just not a 1A. He cannot be your 1A guy on any team. If you want to actually compete, you want to go for a championship, he's got to be a 1B type player. And who are we going to match him up with? I mean, unless we pull off some huge...
I'm going to disagree with you because he has proven he was a 1A for a stretch in the bubble or for pretty much all the 2019-2020 season. And they did get the championship.
That was 4 years ago, though.
But you're saying he can't.
So yeah, he has, as of moving
now,
forward.
Now, I would agree with you on that.
Has he done that in 1 year? Yeah, he did that in 1 year. He did that in 1 year of his career. I'll give you that. Okay, I'll give you that. He definitely was that. But what I will say as well, though, is Anthony Davis also, even in that 2020 bubble, was not the aggressor. Like, LeBron James led the league in assists that year. LeBron James, I believe he had like 10.5 assists that year because he was the one just setting up AD, and AD is getting to the cup. AD is not the type of guy to where he's like, oh, I'm just going to be able to take over this game. Like, I don't – and maybe you guys are in the chat. Let me know.
No, I didn't say he's a 1A now, NV213. I said he was a 1A then.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Not now. I said then.
Yeah.
He was a 1A. Because the way you were phrasing it, John, you were saying he's never been a 1A. Or at least I might have misunderstood you. But he was a 1A at one time in that stretch. And he was aggressive at that point in the bubble. Maybe it was just the confines of whatever was going on in the bubble. That's all you could do was concentrate. But yeah, now, as you can see, he just can't stay focused to be a 1A. So I'm not saying he's a 1A now. I'm saying he was a 1A then.
Got you. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, in that 2020 bubble, he was doing his thing. But as far as moving forward and, you know,
good in the regular season, too. The AD's best season besides 17 was
it was 2019-2020.
Yeah. His defense, he got robbed of the defensive player of the year that year. If they hadn't had the break, he probably would have won it.
I agree.
I don't know. They don't like to give awards to the Lakers. I don't know what the hell the deal is with this league. They don't like giving awards to the Lakers. It's weird. Kobe and Shaq have two MVPs between each other. Two. One each. Kobe and Shaq, the most monumental freaking players of 2000 to 2010. One, they only had two MVPs in that time. That's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. But anyways, I don't. It's. I think this fixation, this fixation of 1A, A, B, C, F, mother, whatever the hell. These things are these days. It's so tiring. That's tiring too. And that's something that started with Shaq and Kobe, whose team it was. They didn't say that in the 80s. Oh, is it Larry Bird's team or is it Robert Parrish's team? Oh, is it Magic's team or is it Michael Cooper's team? Is it Jordan's team? Oh, no, wait. Is it Pippen's team? When did this garbage continue? For what reason? Just win the goddamn games. Win. Just win the goddamn games and you'll become legendary. If you've got idiots on social media who don't know dick about anything except their own dicks, then why does that matter in the end? What does it matter? The only thing that matters in team sports is a team championship. You want to be an individual? Go play tennis. Go play golf. Go play whatever the hell, ping pong. I don't give a shit what it is. Enough of this. Is it LeBron? Is it this? Is it that? AD needed to show up tonight. If he shows up tonight against Sabonis, which he's 0-9 against. Let me say that again. 0-9. It wasn't just tonight. It's a reoccurrence. Just like this team and their problems and their stupidity and their lack of focus and the lack of ability to lead or coach or do anything in a consistent manner. It's not there. Why? I don't know why. They're all paid. They're all paid for the next 10 years, for the next 10 lifetimes. The management has given them that opportunity, and they still are not coming through. So now what? What do we do? What happens when you've paid everybody, when you've given everyone the largest stage in sports for basketball to show their talents? What is next? What? What more? Do we need to clean up their as they walk? What is it? What? That's the question we want to ask. What is it that you guys need to focus for 48 goddamn minutes a game for 82 times out of the year? You're getting paid 50, 60, 18, 22, $14 million a year. What other motivation do you want? What? There is no answer. What do you want LeBron to do anymore? What do you want him to do? He's done everything. He's trying to get to the basket every time. He's trying to make shots. He's hitting threes left and right. What? It's not working. You have to change this. I just posted. Jeannie was walking out. The whole crowd in LA is yelling at her to fire Darvin Ham. She's getting it. So she's going to have two options. Either you fix this team or you sell the team and get lost. Dr. Buss is gone. He's been gone for 10 years. It's just like LeBron and his kid. You can't expect his kids to be LeBron James. LeBron James is a 1-in-50-year player. Not 10, not 20, not 30, not 40, 50. He's a 1-in-50-a-year player. So understand that this person that's in charge right now is probably not equipped to do this job. How do we live up to our issues with it? Well, folks, I know this. Look, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I'm contemplating not enabling this. It's not life shattering. This is entertainment, which is why it's frustrating that that you have to get this frustrated about something that's entertainment. It shouldn't be like this. You should be enjoying this. And if they're still losing, okay, well, they don't have enough talent. Well, maybe, you know, they have an injury. Well, you know, they've run 3 years in a row at the finals. You know, I didn't get mad when they didn't win four straight. I'm like, man, they ran three in a row. What are you going to do? I didn't get mad when they lost to Dallas, even though it was a surprise. Kobe was on one leg. Pau Gasol was getting punched by Phil Jackson. It was done. Sometimes it happens. They brought you two championships, three finals appearances. There is a common sense thing here, but this doesn't make any sense. This doesn't make any sense to me. They took care of everybody this summer, even Vanderbilt, out of nowhere. They said, you know what? We're going to give you money. Oh, and by giving you this money, we're not going to be allowed to trade you on top of it. So now what? Now what? What's the excuse? They're not about it. LeBron is. AD is half the time. Everyone else? They're trying. I don't give a damn about trying. We need execution and we need the results. That's it. This is it. Enjoy it for another month. Because this is over in a month. A month and a week, let's just say.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Soro and John Costa along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much for watching and listening. The Lakers do lose 130-120. Lakers fall to 34-30. They're 10th place in the Western Conference. Truly appreciate everyone on Facebook and YouTube who's watching us right now. John, Joe's right. As she was leaving the court, Jeannie Buss, the owner of the Lakers, was hearing, getting showered and hearing the chants, fire Ham, fire Ham. Not to sell the team this time, but fire Ham. Your thoughts when you realize a lot of people are feeling like you and Joe and myself that it's about time to let go of Ham.
I mean, I just hope that she listens, but I remember, I forgot if it was someone in the chat or if it was one of you guys had mentioned that you said Darvin, you guys had said that Darvin Ham is a genie in Rob's like shield. And the second you guys said that, I was like, man, like, that's so true. Like, as long as Darvin Ham is there, the blame will. And for us that really talk about the game, like, in and out, are always talking about the Lakers. And I would say, like, we're more diehards. We're going to eventually, you know, run out of Darvin Ham put downs to say that we're going to eventually get to Genie, or we're going to be able to eventually to follow the lineage and figure out that this is, you know, this, the problem starts at the top with her. But she, but as long as Darvin Ham is there, the common fan and what the, and what ESPN will talk about and what TV will talk about is Darvin Ham, Darvin Ham, Darvin Ham. And then after Darvin Ham, maybe, you know, LeBron James and his play, or maybe Anthony Davis and his play. There's just so many shields to Genie and Rob that they're honestly just sitting there behind the shield, probably laughing together. Because I feel like if you want success, if you care about success, as there's just no way you legitimately can look at this team. You can know basketball. I've seen what's been going on as of late. Look at this team and say, yeah, oh, for sure, Darvin Ham is the answer. We just got to give him more time. There's no way. The only reason you'd be keeping him would be to continue to shield yourself and keep yourself safe and away from the media killing them. Yeah, Gary, you're right, brother. Genie is way in over her head. But yeah, unfortunately, Gerald, unless Darvin Ham does something crazier than what he's already done in ruining this season, well, not being the sole reason for ruining this season, but being a very big part of why this season just went to craps. Even though that happens, I don't think that a genie will do something because it's protecting her.
It's a shame too, though. It's a shame too, John, and shame too, Joe, because on a day where LeBron James, 10 of 10 from the free throw line, 31 points overall, 10 of 16, although he didn't shoot well from three, didn't take that many, but Rui Hachimura, 29 points. A really, really good game for him. You're getting production in certain areas today, Joe. It's just unfortunately, like you said, AD and the guards, they let you down today. They let you down.
Numbers these days have a value and a place, but I'm pretty sure if you did a statistic that good numbers just don't typically matter in this league anymore. Everything has to be done correctly. There's too many players out there that aren't even stars that are capable of scoring at anywhere, at any time, at any part of the floor. It's a different game. Anyone can score anywhere these days. They're all taught to shoot. They're all taught to shoot threes. They're all taught to just run. There's not enough. This is not enough. There's not enough on this team. And the not enough is everything. It's the desire, I read, I think it might have been one of our guys posting something that, earlier. It might have been Dr. Nukes. I think it was Dr. Nukes. Sorry if I'm getting this wrong, but he had said even when they do good things, they just don't feel like they believe. I thought that was brilliantly put. They don't believe that they can go and just, they just kind of, if it happens, it happens. If not, And that's as good of a description of this team as you can probably put on it. They don't really feel like doing this. They just don't. And I don't feel like watching them not do this. That's where the frustration is. We're talking about, we're watching from 7:30 and then we get to the end of nightcap at midnight, typically. That's a lot of time to watch people who are paid a lot of money to do something that they should be doing consistently, that they're, and they're not. I'm wasting 5.5 hours of my life allowing this to happen. We are allowing this to happen. If those guys in that arena were, if half of those people in that arena were not there, and people like us weren't here talking about this day in and day out, she would sell the team or she'd fix this problem right away. We don't hold anyone accountable anymore. And it's not just sports, it's everything. We pointed to some mental health issue. We pointed to some past trauma. We pointed to the birds flew east one day and they flew south the other day. Like, the amount of excuses and bull that society continues to pull on everything and everything, and it seeped into sports even more. Because sports is supposed to be the release, at least for me. I'm a sports guy. I like sports. People like to go hiking. People like to go to Mount Everest and all the peaks. I like sports. Why? Because that for a long while, it was the place where you couldn't fake. You can't fake Anthony Davis and his skills. You can't fake LeBron James. You can't just put some person who put $1 billion into a campaign or some kind of movie production and say, well, we got to put them in the movie. No, it doesn't work like that. When you ask me, when you keep bringing up this LeBron family, whatever the hell's going on, why do you think I get pissed off? You think I'm getting pissed off because it's LeBron and his kid? It has nothing to do with LeBron and his kid. It's, you're making a mockery of a real thing. This is 450 players in the entire planet that are in this league at one time. Yet I'm hearing about how, well, is this guy going to play? The guy, you have a guy that can't even barely average 6 points a game, and we're talking about this kid to come play in the NBA because we want some feel-good story? And you're saying this to me while the Lakers are playing like trash? This is what people are worried about? This is what people want to do? Why don't you go watch the Housewives of Beverly crap, whatever it is that those garbage shows are? Go watch that if you want a feel-good story or you want that kind of. Seriously, it's like, well, don't bring it to the real stuff. Don't bring it here. You want that mindless trash? Go watch that stuff. Go watch the E! Channel. Go watch that garbage. I don't want to hear any of this stuff. I really don't. I want to hear that you're paying these guys $50 and $60 million a year to give a damn. Because if you're not going to give a damn, I'm not going to give a damn, and I'm going to peace out. I don't need this. I have a great life. I do whatever the hell I want. I don't need to be handcuffed by a bunch of jackasses who can't figure out when to play and when not to play.
Well, for more of that scintillating conversation, it is Joe Sorrell.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of beeps on Apple. Sorry, folks.
Yeah,
but
I've got 7 so far. I counted, so it's okay. I might be a little late for the nightcap, Joe, editing, but I'll get there as fast as I can.
I'm going to start preparing my drinks, folks. I'll see you in about 5 minutes.
Yes. Stay tuned to us here on the channel, please, because Joe's coming on here in 5 minutes with the Lakers nightcap. Please go ahead and do so. Join him. You know he's got more to vent, more to rant, so go ahead and you just have a nightcap with Joe Sorrell. I'll be on there as soon as I can, but got to bleep out those words, those naughty words from Joe, so for Apple Podcasts, because I try to keep it clean so that a majority of you out there are able to go ahead and listen to Joe, although he says some words that are kind of like on the edge, which I don't bleep out, which still probably get, you know, me in trouble with some people driving their kids to work and whatnot, or school. But John, great to have you here as always, my friend. Again, check out his great conversation yesterday that he had with Stone Hansen, but truly a disappointing loss. This was a loss you really couldn't get, because not only is it, you know, obviously right smack dab in the middle of this Western Conference fight, but it's to the team that's just above you in the standings, where you had two crucial games, one a week from now against them again. You take both those games, you get that much closer to hopping over them in the Western Conference. But now they've got a piece of cake game tomorrow against the San Antonio Spurs with no Victor Wembanyama. So pretty much looking like the Lakers are getting, you're going to have to get used to being in 10th place in the Western Conference.
Yeah. And to respond to Kurt's comment, Kurt said, start swearing so you'll take longer. So I should be like, man, what the? But I will not do that, Gerald.
I'll just bleep some more.
I will not do that, my brother. But yeah, I mean, I think the way that Joe led everything off with saying, like, yo, let's just accept that we're the 10th seed. Like, I think that that's the best way to go about it at this point. We're pretty handily above whoever's below us, and then, which I believe you said is like the Jazz, correct? The Jazz are
well. The Jazz are the next in line, but they're six games behind. It's not a chance. Six games with what, 20 games left or less. Yeah, it's, don't worry about losing your spot. The Lakers are in the play-in. The problem is the Lakers are firmly in the play-in. And more likely, because they're now two losses behind Golden State, and they're two losses behind pretty much anybody else, or three losses in some cases, four in some cases, to everybody else in the Western Conference above them, you might as well just go ahead and start packing your bags, because you're going to be traveling in every single playoff or play-in game that you have.
Yeah. Well, let's get ready for it, guys. Let's get ready for it the same way we did last season with having to take the toughest route to get to the Western Conference Finals. I doubt we'll get to the Western Conference Finals this year, but what I do know is that we'll have this extremely tough route, and I'm just going to not set my expectations too high for this team. Like, that's honestly where I'm at. Like, that's really where I'm at with it, Gerald. But,
and how can I blame you? How can I blame you for feeling that way? I know we sometimes really get a lot of flack sent our way because we call it like it is. We call it as we see it. And so many Lakers fans out there, and more power to you if you are very optimistic. But as responsible Lakers podcasters, I really think we got to give it to you how it is, not throw dandelions and flowers at you. Now, Laker Tom will do from time to time. Maybe L. Rob will do from time to time, but that's who they are, and I respect them for that. But from us, and what I've seen from you, John, it's just like, whether you've been thinking this way all along before you came on the show with us, or it's just, you know, how it is, or what have you, man, it's just great hearing your thoughts and opinions on it, because they do mirror ours quite a bit.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be a realistic, right? Like, if you're going to spend as many hours as we spend, like, watching basketball, making content about basketball, and, you know, thankfully we have you, Gerald, you know, the Podfather, you do so great with the editing and getting, you know, everything done and the hosting. And I mean, you know, go
bleeping Joe,
bleeping Joe, right? You go far and above for everyone in here and everybody in the chat. Make sure you guys show all the love to Gerald, because Gerald works so hard for all of you guys. But what I was going to say was, when you put in that much time, Gerald, like, I'm not going to sit here and put this much time and lie to myself. If I'm going to put in this much time, like, I'm at least going to be real, and I'm going to give some real takes, and I'm going to say what I see. And what I see is a team that I should not get my hopes up for.
Gary, you know, I just felt Joe tonight, he was just depressed and down, but he wasn't angry. So sometimes I've been told that I say certain questions or ask certain questions or say certain things, like the conversation I had with John, sometimes maybe to just draw the ire out of Joe. I've been accused of that on more than one occasion. And I can't say I didn't mean to do it here because I did. I think you guys all needed a rant tonight. So you got one. So you're welcome. But hopefully if you get a chance to stick around, he could rant even more on the Lakers nightcap with Joe Soro here coming up in just a second. But John, always great to have you here. Please, on a good note, plug your great work that you're doing today on Lakers Corner and Clutch Talk.
Yes, yes. Please, guys, come check me out. I have two channels. I have Lakers Corner, which is on YouTube, all about Lakers, bringing you all type of Lakers news, recaps, and all that. Do a recap to every single game. And then also, I got another channel. It's called Clutch Talk, all in one word. That's on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And that's an NBA talk show. Drop two episodes per week talking all about the NBA. But come check me out. But as always, Gerald, I appreciate you letting me be in this awesome, awesome community here with you.
Absolutely. Appreciate this awesome community as well, and appreciate all the time that you take with us. Once again, it is John Costa. Please go ahead and check him out today at Lakers Corner and Clutch Talk. And also whenever he stops by here at the Lakers Fast Break, hopefully we will see you on Friday.
Yes.
Against Giannis Antetokounmpo, Damian Lillard, and the Milwaukee Bucks. It doesn't get any easier for us, my friend. This was supposed to be the easier game with the Western Conference leading Oklahoma City Thunder. You've got the second place in the Eastern Conference Milwaukee Bucks. You've got the now first place in the Western Conference Minnesota Timberwolves coming up. Gee, so much fun. So much fun indeed.
So much fun, Gerald. It's going to be a tough one.
It is, my friend, but I'm glad that you're here with us to go ahead and talk about it. I'm glad you out there are as well. Please go ahead and support us by liking and subscribing. And if you're on Facebook, to the tens and hundreds of viewers that have watched us all night long, please go ahead and follow us to get the latest notifications on when we go live on the air with the latest Lakers Fast Break podcast.